Yo, yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James. And we have a really interesting show for you today. Now, when I thought of the purpose for today's show, what I wanted to talk about, the first topic that we're going to reach into, I had no plan whatsoever of including this in the show, but I feel like it's probably going to be the longest segment on the show tonight. What I want to do with my solo episodes, because we do have live streams typically every Thursday night at 9 o'clock with me and my co-host, Cody Marinara. This week, due to Collision being on a Thursday, we are moving that live stream to hopefully take place this Sunday night around 9 o'clock Eastern time. But I want to have solo episodes, and I want to try and do them every weekend, where I'm going to do what I'm going to call the weekly recap of and it's essentially not necessarily what's going on in the wrestling ring, because, like, obviously me and Cody, we break down a lot of AEW wrestling in our live stream, but I want to talk about what the reaction is on social media in the IWC. What are the talking points that they want to talk about, and what they are talking about, and I want to give my reaction and thought and input into it. And so I originally was planning really just to talk about a couple things this week. The first being Ricochet and Javon Evans. They had a little bit of a Twitter beef the other day. I wanted to give my comments on that issue. I wanted to also talk about the comments from Will Ospreay from earlier this week. And then the biggest talking point that I saw this week, especially among AEW fans, is answering the question, should AEW institute a women's tag team division? And that was going to be my big segment that was going to take the most time, and I'm still going to talk about it, but it's just going to have to be relegated because I think I have a more important topic. And I'll break that down that's going to start the show, but it's going to be the biggest topic of the episode. And I hope you stay tuned to listen to it and for the rest of the episode. But first, I want to introduce the show for any of those who are new to the audience. I want to welcome you. I am a AEW super fan and a casual WWE fan. I made a tweet the other day that went somewhat viral, I guess, for a day or two, saying that AEW really saved my passion. In 2019, I was almost on the ropes of stopping watching wrestling because WWE was just so terrible. I couldn't take it much longer, and AEW comes in 2019 really invigorated myself back into pro wrestling in a different style than I was used to growing up. And I really enjoyed it. And so now here I am. I'm all AEW for the most part. And I will share my disagreements with AEW when I have them. But for the most part, I think AEW is doing a pretty damn good job given the position that they're in, which is a company on year six with a major TV deal that I think has now started to figure out they're not going to be necessarily the major leagues, but they're going to be a close second place. And I think they're comfortable now in that spot for the most part. I think there are going to be wrestlers for AEW that maybe think that AEW can be better than WWE at some point in time. But I think AEW as a business from Tony Khan down, I think the idea is that they're fine where they're at, hitting the people that they're hitting, reaching the people that they're reaching. And if they just continue to do what they do best, more people will tune in to AEW than ever before. But put that aside for a minute, because I want this to be a podcast. So though I'm a quote-unquote sicko, that people who aren't can still enjoy the show. And I want to reach people from all across the wrestling spectrum, from just watching pay-per-views to being a casual viewer of the weekly product to being someone in the middle to being the most hardcore wrestling fan in the world. I think everybody has a place in pro wrestling. And I want to build that community. And that community is one, I want to build it on Discord. So if you have Discord and you are a wrestling fan, go to junkyardmediagroup.com. There is going to be a button for you to click. It's the Discord logo. That'll lead you to an invite link to lead you to the Discord. Join and join the community, and let's build this from the ground up. For those who are regular viewers, like I feel like I'm a preacher right now, because I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. It's not give me your tithes and offerings, but it's the equivalent. It's like, share, subscribe, reach out and help build this audience, right? Be the person that comments on, if you're on YouTube, so the algorithm sees that people are interacting with the video. Give us a 5-star review if you listen to the audio version of this show. Even if you don't listen to the audio version of the show, go to Spotify, go to Apple Music, give us a 5-star review so that more people can reach out and listen to these takes. Now, I don't make any money off of this right now. So this isn't like me saying, I need to make more money, this is my job. It's not. It's just a side hobby that I wish maybe one day I could use to be my job. But I want to reach an audience, because I think there's a good thing in community. And I think to build a community of all sorts and kinds of wrestling fans, from the most casual wrestling fan to the most hardcore, would be a great thing. And there seems to be this idea that casual fans and hardcore fans don't get along. And I want to break that narrative and build a community. And so that starts by going to junkyardmediagroup.com, joining the Discord. And then if you want to support monetarily, go to beyondthejunkyard.com and support the merch. The merch site, that can be your way of helping get a little bit of additional finances for the business, for the podcast, that we can build and grow and use to enhance the podcast and make it better. But I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that, because I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about this next topic. And this next topic is something, again, like I said, I wasn't planning on spending any time at all talking about, but I have to talk about it, because it's pertinent, and it's information that the IWC, the internet wrestling community, is talking about, and the ramifications, at least for me, of this topic. Because something interesting happened today. So Let me paint the picture real quick. I'm at work and I'm scrolling through X, and I see a post by Sean Ross Sapp. that says AEW contract information or post at Fightful Select and a few coming soon for subscribers or something to that effect. Basically promoting, hey, he has exclusive news about contract information about AEW. And I thought, well, shit, I'm an AEW fan. This is really important to me. Like, what news is happening? Who signed? Whose contract is over? Like, what's going on? And I happen to be a Fightful Select subscriber, still am to this day. I pay monthly, and I read all of the articles that I can, and I support Fightful every way that I can. And I think Fightful, for the most part, is a very good source of information. I have no gripes against Fightful. I have no gripes, at least before this afternoon, against Sean Ross Sapp. That is, until this afternoon. So I go to Patreon, where the information is going to be posted, and I update the feed. Because I've subscribed to several people on Patreon, so it's all there, and so I gotta sort the feed to the most recent thing, and this is what I read. I see the post about the contract information that he was talking about, and in my mind it's like, okay, I saw it on X that he's going to post important information about a contract. I saw that the post was a few hours prior to the current time. So my assumption was he had already posted it to social media. I didn't check his page, and I don't think I had to at that point. I saw it, right? And so I took this information that I found, and I did what I think a lot of content people who get this sort of content do. I shared what I read, assuming I wasn't going to be like the first person to post about it. This is what I put. I'm gonna show you directly the feed. Once it gets, there we go. According to Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful Select, Willow Nightingale is in her contract year with All Elite Wrestling, with her deal set to expire in a few months. As things stand, though the exact date is unclear, I put, he does state AEW expects to retain Willow. So I post that. I didn't think anything of it after that, right? Again, it's like, oh my. I might be late to this information. And as you can see, this is important information real quick. Only 1,500 impressions, 5 people liked, 7 people retweeted or quote tweeted, 1 comment, which is my post that I made a little bit later because of what I'm about to show you. So I go and I see that I get a message. And it's Sean Ross fucking Sapp in my DMs. Like, why the fuck is he DMing me? He says, bro, I hit post on this 1 minute ago. So I put my thing. I wasn't aware there was a time limit needed to post your information. Wasn't trying to steal your thunder. Hence me quoting not only Fightful's page, but yours as well. I appreciate the work you do. He says, it undermines the entire point of the service if you do this immediately. It's common courtesy. To which he then says, why on earth would anyone subscribe when James from Buffalo is just tweeting my reports immediately? Sean, buddy, first off, I love that you went to my page and saw that I am a Buffalo Bills fan and just assumed I'm from Buffalo. Buddy, I don't even live in the state of New York. Buddy, I live like 10 hours south. I'm nowhere near Buffalo. I'm just a Buffalo Bills fan, bro. But let me talk about something else real quick. Sean, I don't have gripes with you. I think you're one of the best in the industry being a journalist in the wrestling industry. But let's just be honest, Sean. Let's just be honest for a minute. Two things can be true at once. You're the best in the industry. But also, you have the personality of a fucking grizzly bear on cocaine. You're so spastic sometimes, Sean. If anybody does something that you disagree with, you have to immediately go to these sort of tactics. And so two things can be true at once, Sean. Two things can be true at once. You're the goat of wrestling journalism right now, Sean Ross Sapp. But you're also a egotistical douchebag. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that you have to understand, Sean Ross Sapp. That's the business model that you chose. You're choosing to allow to people access to your exclusive information. Access to information that you get from sources for a monthly fee. This is the business model that you do with Patreon. And I read the about section of the Patreon page, and I'll read it verbatim again. So that the audience can be informed as to Fightful's Fightful's terms of service, so to speak. So you go to the about page of their Patreon page, and it gives them like who we are, why you should subscribe, and then they give this note at the bottom. It says, "Note, we ask that subscribers do not copy and paste entire posts on forums or Reddit. We don't mind notes, but it would help us out if you didn't copy and paste full entries. Direct screenshots can result in the termination of your account. We ask subscribers do not copy and paste." There's no terms of service on Fightful's Patreon page stating the information that subscribers pay for, they cannot then redistribute. There's no redistribution note. There's no, you can only do this with written and with direct written consent from Fightful. That's not a thing for Fightful. And if it is, that it's not noted on the page. So, Sean, this is the business model that Fightful Select is going with. And here's the truth. So let me be honest of what I did going afterwards. I took screenshots of Sean telling me that I was inconsiderate and in the wrong for sharing information that I pay for. And I shared that with a Discord page that I'm in called the Casual Wrestling Community. I'm not casual by any chance, but these guys are some of the guys and gals are some of the realest motherfuckers in the entire wrestling community. And I was like, "Look at this, guys." And I shared the screenshots with them. This is what Sean Ross Sapp said to me. And y'all need to join the Discord so you can read this stuff. Casual wrestling community. I'll give them free press. I don't mind. I enjoy their content. Shout out Notorious Dirty D, DJ Wavy D, We Too Deep. Check out the Casual Wrestling Community Show on YouTube, the Slap and Meat Wrestling Podcast on YouTube. I'll give them free press because, yeah. But I go in here and I talk to them about it. And they're like, wow. And let me be honest with you, Sean. What I'm saying right now, like, you probably never will see this, and I'm okay with that. But I'm on level 2 compared to what some of these people may say. Because they asked me if they were allowed to give their thoughts on that. And I said, yeah, that's totally fine. But here's the truth of the matter, and this is what we've come to the conclusion in this Discord. And I agree with it. First, this is 2025, Sean Ross Sapp. If it wasn't fucking me, it would have been one of your other fucking subscribers. At least I gave credit where credit is due. Some of these people, they go out and they just rip off other people's information and make it seem as if it's their own. As if they got a source that told them this information. No, I gave you fucking credit. What else would you want from me, my guy? Oh, I posted it too quick. But secondly, we came to the conclusion that it wasn't that I shared the information. It was the fact that it feels like he thinks I'm going to make it so that people won't subscribe to Fightful Select, a guy who, again, 1.5 million impressions, or I'm sorry, 1.5 thousand, 1,500 impressions in 3 hours. And he posted it a couple minutes after me. And in the first 10 minutes, he probably had triple that amount, quadruple that amount. He has 300 and something thousand followers on his page. I have 950. If he honestly believes that I am going to ruin his business for posting information that, again, I pay for, he is out of his damn mind. He is delusional. But we come to the understanding that business model, the business model of selling information, is only a temporary business model. It doesn't last long term. And here is why. Here is why. First off, people don't give a damn about you. They talk to you and communicate with you because you give them something. You give them access to information that they otherwise can't get. And let me tell you something right now, Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful Select, and this isn't just for them, but for everybody else, WrestleTix, WrestleNomics. The minute you go away and somebody else takes your place, they're just going to follow that account and subscribe to that account and unsubscribe from yours. So you have to understand this is a temporary model. This isn't for long-term growth, which is exactly why it's not the main point of revenue for Fightful, why Fightful has such a bigger, more expansive business model outside of the Patreon. It's not a successful model of growth. People only pay to get access. The second that the access isn't there, they're no longer going to pay. They don't care about Sean Ross Sapp. They just care about the information he's giving them. His subscribers aren't writing him Christmas cards. But they'll say Merry Christmas to him because they pay for access. soon as the access is gone, or it's they charge too much to outprice the implied worth of the information they're given, no one's going to give a damn about it anymore. So I think they need to realize this. I pay for the content. What I do with the content I pay for on the time scale that I do it is my fucking business. I am supplying you with money in return for a service. Imagine if someone were to go to McDonald's and order a 20-piece McNugget, and you get up to the window and you pay for your McNugget, and then you get the bag, and they tell you, look, since you paid for it, you're the only person that can eat it. Don't you dare give these McNuggets to any fucking body else, because you're the only one that paid for it. So that information should go to you and you alone. That's not how it works. That's not how the business works, Sean. Especially in this age where information comes and goes so fast. So look, I don't have a gripe that you're hiding it behind a paywall. I think you're within your right as a businessman to charge for this information. You bust your ass to make sure that the information you get is accurate. And I have always said that Fightful Select is the best $6 in the fucking industry. I'll always say that because you work really hard to do what you do. And I have no gripes about it. Your information is great. But I have a problem with you trying to tell me that the information I pay for as a customer of your business, that you feel like you are in the right to tell me how to use that service or that product that I paid for. You're out of your goddamn mind, Sean Rossap, if you think that I'm going to just be quiet about that. You're fucking crazy. You've lost it. And you need to check into a mental hospital if you think that you can just talk to people like that. That's not customer service. In fact, me sharing you talking to me that way has guaranteed that several people will not subscribe to Fightful Select. That otherwise, I could have convinced them at some point. But you talking to me like you realize what? That's wild. And I'm not the only person that he's done this to where somebody says something he doesn't agree with and he just goes on this wild tangent making really dumb attacks. He just was so kind to do it in the DMs for me. A lot of times he just comments and does it in public. That's wild. I pay for that information. And so you have two things that you can do from your business model. You can update your terms of service to say you cannot reproduce this content without direct consent from Fightful. Or you can leave it the way it is and shut the fuck up. But let's talk about the content that we're talking about. Willow Nightingale's on our contract year, guys. This is big news. AEW is confident that they can retain her, but Athena's on a contract year. Mariah May's on a contract year. Now, Willow, the women's division, the key pieces of this women's division are going to get paid. And AEW is assumed to have signed Thekla and showing that spider graphic, kind of teasing her debut at some point soon. They brought in Mina Shirakawa, soon to debut, probably sometime soon. She's finishing up some dates with New Japan and such. She's soon to be full-time AEW. And so Mariah May, maybe gone. Willow, they hope to get her back, but WWE may throw a bag at her. Athena, does WWE want the forever ROH Women's Champion back? They used her terrible the last time, but they used Rusev terrible. And they used Andrade terrible, and they used Malakai Black terrible. And they brought him back. So I could see a return of Ember Moon to WWE at some point. AEW is going to have to decide who they want to keep and who they want to get rid of. And I hope they bring all three of those women back, because those are three really strong women in the AEW women's division or ROH women's division. But here's my two cents on it. Tony Khan, I don't think, is going to overpay. He's going to give his value. I think he's confident in the roster that he has. And if people so bad want to leave, I think Tony Khan is okay with letting people walk. He let the Lucha Bros out. He let Ricky Starks out. He let Malakai and Rusev out. Like, I think he's okay with losing some of these big names because he's confident in the talent that he has. He's confident that Athena leaves and Megan Bain can step up. He's confident that Willow Nightingale leaves, as good as she is, that Thekla can step up, or Anna Jay can step up, or maybe Britt Baker comes back and can step up and fill that spot. There's a confidence I think Tony Khan has in his roster that he doesn't have to overpay to retain some of these talent. I think Tony Khan cares about people who actually want to be there more so than how much money he has to pay to keep them there. So I'm pretty confident that Willow will resign. But if she wants to go elsewhere, that's totally fine. There's so many other women that, and we'll talk about this at the end of the show, that don't have the time as it is, and they can step up and fill that time. And so we'll see where it leads, but I'm confident, just as apparently AEW is confident, that Willow Nightingale will be All Elite for a while once they get her re-signed. But the note of the story is, don't post Sean Ross Sapp's content really fast. Wait for him to post it first so that he can get money from you to get the exclusive information. He can then monetize his account on social media and post like a cryptic tweet that he has information about AEW contracts that garners a bunch of interactions and impressions so that he gets money off of that tweet. And then he then posts a tweet after he posts the account exclusively that then gets buzz, and he gets money that way. It's just about money with Sean Ross Sapp, and I get it. It's a business. You should generate money. But I'm going to be fucking honest. The second you push post and that information becomes public to those who subscribe behind the paywall, that information is not your exclusive information anymore. It is now the exclusive information of those who pay for the information, and they can use that information in whatever fucking way they want to. So if you're worried about a guy with 900 subscribers or followers on X bankrupting your business, you probably have a problem with your business model. If someone that doesn't even have 1,000 followers who can't even monetize because I don't reach any of the monetization requirements on X, I can't even make money off of it, and you're worried about me bankrupting or interfering with your business model, that's a problem with your business model, not with me using the information that I pay for. But let's move on, because some other beef happened on X the other day in wrestling land. Javon Evans and Ricochet absolutely battled for a minute. And I'm going to be honest, I was at work, and so I missed it happening live. I caught some screenshots that were posted in the aftermath of it. By the time that I saw it, Javon Evans had already deleted his tweets, his posts. So I don't really know the full context, but Ricochet basically said he learned under Shawn Michaels, and Javon Evans said, if Tony told someone to bury someone, he's going to beat his ass. And then Javon said something about Tony Khan being a crackhead and that Ricochet is working in arenas of 2000. Like, he sounded like a typical WWE mark, an E-drone. He uses the same things that they say. He probably follows Heel Uzi and JD from NY on social media and Jobber Nation. Because those are the same replies that they always get. Or that AEW neckbeard page, which, hey, I cut the beard off, so you can't call me an AEW neckbeard anymore, because for the time being, it's not there. Yeah, this is what I got to say. Javon Evans, you're a fucking idiot for doing this. Not necessarily because you work for WWE. And like, I think Ricochet is one of the greatest heels in the game right now. And everything he says on social media, you have to assume he's doing it in character. Ricochet baited Javon Evans into this conversation. And Javon Evans got in trouble for it because obviously he deleted the posts. WWE doesn't want this stuff being said. And there's a rumor, though it can't be confirmed, that there was a possibility that the Performance Center trainees now have to go through media training because of this incident. Like, Javon, you wrestled for Tony before under the name Jay Malachi. And obviously it didn't work out, but why the fuck are you going to burn the bridge? You're so young. Your spot's not 100% certain in WWE. Let's just be honest. They go through another set of NXT cuts again, and you don't perform. Now you put yourself out there. This is bad press for them. There's a good shot you could be cut, and you burned a bridge with the second biggest company in America. Like, come on, dude. Like, that's... objectively, the dumbest thing you could have done is burn that bridge, because you never know. Ask Cora Jade. Ask Cora Jade if she thought she was going to be cut last week. Ask Cora Jade when she was working with Roxanne Perez, perhaps the biggest name in NXT women's division, now and even before Julia and Stephanie Fakir showed up, and after, like, Roxanne was the fucking division, and you were working as a tag team with her, and then all of a sudden, we'll cut Cora Jade. Ask Dakota Kai how it feels to be cut, not once, but twice. Ask Eddie Thorpe if he thought he was going to be cut. Just a few months ago, Eddie Thorpe was battling for championships. Now he's unemployed. So Javon Evans, use your fucking head for a quick burn. You've burnt a bridge that you may need to use at some point in time. And the same stuff was said about Cora Jade when she made some posts about Tony Khan as well. And the same thing can be said about AEW talent talking shit about WWE. Like Paige, when she went out there and did that monologue about how she's home now and she's treated so much better and all of that stuff that she did in that one promo. Like, that's not stuff that you should probably say when you're debuting with a company. You know, like, it goes both ways. Don't burn those bridges, guys. Be smart. Understand the game. That at any minute you could be cut. And you're going to need a backup plan. Unless you want to run the indies and work for, you know, $200 a night against Javon Evans, maybe you should think twice before trying, you know, being baited into a Twitter war with Ricochet, which is the king right now of Twitter beef. He don't give a fuck. Him and his wife don't give a fuck. And Tony Khan don't care if they do that shit either. Because I think Ricochet's in character when he does it. I think Jay Malachi was being Jay Malachi was being Javon Evans out of character when he was doing his stuff, and WWE did not appreciate it. Speaking of AEW comments, Will Ospreay made some interesting comments. We'll get to those here in a minute, but first I want to talk to you about one of our affiliate partners, and that is the great people over at StubHub. You know that feeling when you snag those perfect seats to a game or a concert that you've been dying to see? That's what StubHub's all about. Whether it's courtside for the playoffs, front row for your favorite band or singer, or maybe just that spontaneous night out, StubHub has got you covered. And guess what? It's super easy. You just browse the event, pick the tickets, boom, you're in. There's no sketchy resellers, no stress. It's just a secure way for authentic tickets every freaking time. Plus, with Fan Protect Guarantee, you know they got your back if your plans change. Weather happens, you get sick, like the Fan Protect Guarantee makes sure that if plans change, you can get some form of compensation for not being able to go to that event. Right now, head to the link in the description where it says StubHub. Check out what's happening near you. Help support the podcast. Get those last minute deals, because StubHub is where it's at for real tickets, real moments, and real simplicity. It's time to make some memories. Thank y'all. StubHub, again, the link's in the description below for those StubHub tickets. Guys, next week, the NFL releases their schedule. And for the most part, Ticketmaster may be where you get your tickets for a lot of teams. But check out the link on Wednesday next week. And get your tickets to those NFL games use their link. Help support the podcast that way. Let's talk about Will Ospreay, though. Will Ospreay went on, was it a Daily Post or Daily Mail or something interview? And he made some interesting comments that has gotten a lot of fans kind of up in arms recently, because this is what Will Ospreay says. It's Daily Star. Will Ospreay said, "In ring, I generally don't know if there's anyone from the WWE that matches any of our guys," meaning in AEW. But basically, what Will Ospreay's saying is, he's better than everyone in WWE. And generally speaking, I think that's true. But that's because I enjoy the style of wrestling that Will Ospreay provides more than the style of wrestling that WWE provides. And so I know the people that WWE fans more than AEW fans are going to disagree. And here's the problem with this conversation is, I think Will Ospreay knows what he's doing. He knows this is going to rile the WWE fans up. It's the same thing he did with his Triple H comment from last year. He knows what he's doing. He knows it's going to get a response. And so he's going to say, he sometimes says some things, I think, on purpose to get that response and to get under some of the WWE fans' skin a little bit. But the honest truth is, it's like, I think Will Ospreay is one of the greatest of all time. But if you don't like that style of wrestling, you're going to think it's dog shit. And that's fair for you to say. Everybody's top list, everybody's tier list on what's good and what's not good in pro wrestling are going to be different. Just like everybody's opinion on which restaurant has the best fried chicken sandwich is going to be different. I don't think there's one objective, honest, best in the world, because everybody has their different likes and dislikes. Even in AEW, there are going to be guys that I like less than other people. Like, I love Kevin Knight. I think he's the fucking beast. But to be completely honest, I don't fuck with Brian Cage or Lance Archer. Just simply because I don't like that style of wrestling. I'm not a fan of the big guy wrestling for the most part. Like, it's boring. For the most part, it's boring. I like to be entertained in the ring, and I like to watch the circus. That's what I love to watch. I love to watch the circus. And Will Ospreay is a circus act. We can be honest with that. Wrestling is a circus act. Like, let's just be honest. The beginning of pro wrestling were ex-carnival acts who got cut from the carnival, and so they decided, hey, we should do this wrestling shit. We should imitate amateur wrestling as some form of entertainment. So, like, it has its background in the carnival scene. And so I like the carnival act. I like the flippy shit. I like the Circus Olay-esque pro wrestling. I'm not necessarily a guy that needs a story. Like, tonight, this is being recorded on Friday, May 9th, by the way. Tonight, I'm going to sit down at 10 o'clock Eastern time and watch New Japan Resurgence from Ontario, Canada. And I'm going to watch Zack Sabre Jr. tear the fucking house down. I'm going to watch Takeshka tear the house down. Mercedes Moné tear the house down. Mina Shirakawa. The Young Bucks are going to tear the house down with the Good Fellas or the Good Bros or whatever they're called. And that's the style of wrestling that I like. And WWE, on the other hand, I'm not a really big fan of the super cinematic storytelling wrestling. Give me two really good wrestlers, or three really good wrestlers, or fuck, AEW's been doing it recently a lot. Give me a 4v4 tag match every fucking week with a bunch of circus acts doing a bunch of cool flippy shit, and you got me hooked. That's what I like. And so I think Will Ospreay is really fucking good. But this is an objective statement. Will Ospreay thinks he's better than everybody in WWE. And I'm sure everybody in WWE thinks they're better than Will Ospreay. It's a subjective thing. There's no objective truth to the statement. And so the fact that people are up in arms about it, it's just like, this is exactly what he wanted. This is exactly what Will Ospreay wanted. Like, I think Will Ospreay can out-promo almost everybody in WWE. His promo style is different, but it's still really good. It's still better than a lot of the cheesy scripted promos in WWE. And the fact that I like his promo abilities, because it doesn't feel scripted. It's a little messy. It's a little not ready for TV. But to me, that means it's authentic and it's real and it's just fucking fantastic. Let's move on, though, to the final topic of the night, of the show. But first, I want to take a minute. Last ad read for you. I want to talk about WWE Shop. Get ready to step into the ring with the hottest gear from WWE Shop. Whether you're a fan of the high-flying action of WrestleMania to the gritty showdowns on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, WWE Shop has everything you need to show support for your favorite wrestlers. From authentic superstar tees to championship replica belts, they got it all. Head over to WWE Shop using the link in the description now and gear up like a member of the WWE universe. Don't just watch the action, wear the action, because WWE Shop is where legends are made and fans are styled. Appreciate WWE Shop for partnering with us. Again, use the link in the description and help support the podcast that way. Let's talk about the final topic. And I'm going to spend a decent amount of time talking about this because I've had some conversations about this off the record with Cody Marinara and some other friends about this topic. And that is, should AEW institute a women's tag team division and by default a women's tag team championship? My answer is simply put, yes. Yes, for simply two reasons. One, you have so many women on this roster that are really good that get very little, if any time at all, on the weekly show to do anything meaningful. Like Willow Nightingale fought Chris Statlander just for the fuck of it, and there was no real rhyme or reason behind it. And it's like if you tag teamed Willow versus Willow and Chris as a tag team and put them up against, I don't fucking know, Anna Jay and Harley Cameron, and the women's champion, women's tag belts are on the line, like maybe people really kind of give a fuck about that match. And don't get me wrong, Willow and Chris tear the house down every week. I enjoy watching those matches, but eventually there has to be some stake in it. There has to be some reason behind having the feud, or else it's just meaningless airtime. It's just putting a match on the card simply to fill time. Like you can fill time and have it be meaningfully, you know, used rather than just another throwaway match. Like Willow and Chris have fought six times already and the feud's not over. Like there's got to be some form of purpose behind the feud, or else, you know, long term it's not going to work. You know, if the feud is, this is where I kind of agree with some of the casual wrestling fans. Not necessarily on storylines and being really well kept, but there does have to be, at some point, there has to be a reason why the match takes place. I think the story can be told in the ring, but there does have to be a purpose behind why the story is being told in the ring. You don't have to go on to like 8 week long worth of promos and vignettes to get there, but like there has to be a purpose. And if the purpose is we're fighting for the AEW women's tag team belts, you can throw together, you know, random matches all the time, just like Toni Storm is doing right now. She's filling time to get to All In because she's probably not going to have a match at Double or Nothing, because the Double or Nothing finals for the Owen Hart tournament are going to main event that show, both for the men and the women. So Toni Storm's just going to fill time doing these eliminator challenges, beating all the women, just because, and the story behind it is that if this woman beats Toni Storm, she's now going to get a title opportunity the next time they fight. So the women's division needs the tag belts because, one, they have way too many women on the roster who don't have enough time on the card, but two, there's so many already basically established women tag teams in the division that aren't officially tag teams because we don't have a tag team division. This would be a seamless transition, and I get the pushback that WWE has destroyed women's tag team wrestling because what they seemingly do is they just take woman A and woman B and put them together in some random tag team and try and push that as a legitimate division, but that's not the case. Like I can name several tag teams right now off the top of my head that could be your basis for the division that are women that are not in the main scene right now. Anna Jay and Harley Cameron, or Anna Jay and Ty Mello, or you could do Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. Megan Bain really isn't in that main title scene yet. We're assuming maybe she'll bounce back in there after losing to Toni Storm at the last pay-per-view Dynasty. But you could do Willow and Chris. You could do the Renegade Twins, Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Now that Sky Blue's coming back, like I think I already said it, but the Renegade Twins, for the short term, Athena and Billy Starks could be a tag team that can then split apart at some point and build a feud out of that. Like there's so many opportunities here. You bring in Shotzi, and you can have Shotzi and And Ruby Soho, when she's ready to come back to wrestling, be a tag team. You can have Kaden and Katara, Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter. If you sign them as a tag team, if you bring in Shayna Baszler, she can join the Death Riders, and the Death Riders can have Shayna Baszler and Marina Shafir. Like, there's so many women's tag teams that are basically already established. AEW just has to, you know, agree to build the division. And I think it's wild that Ring of Honor gets a women's pure division, which I think would be very, very good. The pure rules are very fantastic. But I think it's wild that they get a women's pure title before women's tag team belts, because that division, the AEW women's division, is craving for another belt. Like, Mercedes Moné is going to hold the TBS belt probably for a little bit longer, probably until she passes Jade Cargill to be the longest reigning AEW TBS champion. But maybe even longer than that. Like, who knows when Mercedes Moné drops any of her belts. It's bound to happen. I could see it to where she loses all her belts leading into All In if she wins the match at Double or Nothing. And then she loses all her belts where now she's coming in for the main prize. I could see that being the story. But, like, just when does Mercedes Moné lose? You know, so that belt's being held, and Mercedes Moné is giving really good match, probably the best match of everybody she's fighting for the belt's best match of their career in AEW, and she continues to put on really good matches, but no one's going to win that belt for the foreseeable future. Then you have is the women's world title, which, let's just be honest, you can't put everybody in the main title scene. They're craving mid-card belts. And if you put a tag team division together in AEW's women's division with AEW women's tag team belts, not only can you now put more women on the card and give more women time, you can now use that as a recruiting pitch for some of these women to say, if you're interested in tag team wrestling, we're where the best tag team wrestling happens, AEW. And you can use that as a recruitment tool to get more women's tag teams to join your ranks. Like, I don't think I mentioned it, but, like, you sign, let's just say you sign Mariah May, put Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa as a tag team again, like they did in Stardom. Like, it's there. So yes, I think they need a women's tag team division. And I'd go so far as to say they need to figure out what they're doing with the women's division and giving the women more time and more women access, because they're kind of going back to the model they did about a year or so, maybe more ago, where it's just like the top four or five women get all the time and the rest of the women don't get any time. And fans are starting to notice it, that, like, Willow's not getting as many opportunities as she used to. Queen Amanada has been really well, but hasn't been really utilized very well, and so fans are noticing it. And so this women's tag team division, you could put Amanada and Red Velvet together as a tag team. I think they worked together in ROH at some point in time. That'd be a really good tag team. Like, you have the people there to make it a really good division and change the narrative behind women's tag team wrestling. So I think it needs to happen, and I think it needs to happen immediately, like tomorrow. Tony Khan should come out and announce, hey, we're building a women's tag team division, and maybe not at All In, but maybe All Out, you crown your first women's tag team champions, and then you build from there. Make that the All Out women's spectacle. I think with the talent they have in that women's division, AEW should focus on the women's division almost entirely on Collision. Let's just be honest. Some of these women are some of the biggest draws in the company. And so we'll see where that leads. But guys, that's all I really wanted to talk about. Me and Cody Marinara are planning on doing a live stream on Sunday night talking about the past week or so of wrestling. We'll recap Dynamite and Collision this Sunday, and maybe talk a little bit about Backlash, since that's this Saturday night, if you're interested. New Japan Pro Wrestling Resurgence is on 10 o'clock Eastern time. Guys, it's going to be a fantastic weekend and next week or so of wrestling. So tune in and be involved in wrestling however you like it and whatever shape and form you enjoy wrestling in. Until the next episode, I am Junkyard James, and this is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. It's a solo episode, so I'll have to say the final words, so I might fuck this up. Look, y'all, it's the weekend. Go get you a little bit of some pasta or some pizza and wings. Pull up some New Japan Pro Wrestling or some WWE Backlash. And you just stir that pizza sauce all around. Shove it in your mouth. And like Tony Storm said the other day, spit on it and sit on it. Stay saucy, my friends. We'll see you on Sunday, more than likely, unless anything changes. Go to junkyardmediagroup.com, follow all of our social medias, and I'll plea one more time before we get off the air. Like, comment, subscribe, leave a comment if you're watching YouTube. Share this with your buddies. Hit the subscribe button. If you're doing audio version on Apple or Spotify, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, tell others to listen. I try to keep this pretty short. This is a longer episode for one of my solo episodes, but there was a lot I wanted to talk about today. But I try to leave it as close to an hour or less as possible, because I know your time is precious, so I appreciate it. If you listen to the whole thing, leave a comment, like, comment, subscribe. If y'all could leave just one comment down there, if I could see a bunch of people saying sicko in the comments, I'll know you're listening to this and at least maybe watching the ticker that's been going the whole time that says comment sickos in the chat if you're watching. Guys, it's been a good episode for you. Let me know what you think in the comments below. I'm Junkyard James, and this is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Beyond